All right, guys, let me get all my accoutrements straight right here. Put water down here. Let's hope I don't kick it down. And I have an earring. I have an earring, and I think it's Kendra Scott. Who lost it? Anybody? Is it yours? Let's make sure. Okay, there you go. Okay, also, there's a white FJ that's parked on the street on, is it Park Central? If you have a white FJ, I mean, I know there's a lot of other stuff going on. If you have a white FJ and it's yours, I would go turn the lights off. All right. So can I just state the obvious right now? It is freaking hot up in here. And relax, Reagan, wherever you are. I'm not talking about in this room. You don't need to go tell your boss to turn the air down. But it's hot up in Texas right now. And every year about this time, I act like I'm brand new to Texas, just moved down here from upstate New York. Like it's a big surprise to me that it's so hot. So that's not even my opener. I just want to tell you, I never wear jeans in July. And I thought, you know, getting on stage, I probably ought to put some jeans on. But I still have my sandals on. You're not going to get me out of my sandals. All right, so here's what I'd like to hear from y'all. July 4th was a week or so ago. Everybody had probably a nice long four-day weekend, right? So who thinks that they have a July 4th trip worth sharing with the group? Just from your table, just a quick one-liner. If you think that your trip trumped anyone else's, I want to hear about it. Just raise your hand and I'll call on you. Nobody? Nobody. Everybody hung around here. Amanda. That's right. You and like a bunch of other girls. So, okay, Amanda went to Kauai in Hawaii with several other girls, right? Had a great time. Were you there on the 4th? Okay, that counts. Okay, so listen up. Does anybody feel like they can trump going to Kauai on the 4th with some girlfriends of yours? Does anybody think they can trump that? No? Come on, somebody. Dryer.
My nephew's birthday, we're in the pool on the 3rd with the fireworks overhead and rock wall.
Okay. Family, fireworks, rock wall. I mean, there's nothing. It doesn't get any better than that. Okay, so here's how I spent my 4th. And mine doesn't trump. I'm not trying to act like this was the best thing, but it was really cool. I got to spend it with family. I spent July 4th evening at Abel's on the Lake in Austin, Texas, for my niece's rehearsal dinner. And so there's a picture of me and her at the reception. She's 26 years old. This quite arguably was probably, to date, the happiest day of her life. She got married on the 5th. Let me tell you about how this ceremony went. So the best man faints twice, okay? He starts to wobble, and you know, we're family, we're kind of in the second row, and I see him kind of go like this. And I thought it was a joke. I thought he was going to lean in and like interrupt the sermon or the wedding. And he started to go down. There's concrete floors. My brother's a nurse. He gets right up there and helps him out. He's, of course, real embarrassed. He's like, I'm fine. Drink some water. And then we get up and we start it again. And I mean, 10 seconds later, he's about to fall again. So then we make him sit in a chair. And like, buddy, you're going to sit in this chair for the remainder of the ceremony. So we get him in the chair, and then, you know, the guy continues on with the service, and a few minutes later, the bride, my niece, Nettie, starts to get wobbly, and she has to sit down. So I think we have a picture of her later. It was after. So this is after the ceremony, but I just wanted you to see her. She's tired. She's looking at her husband, and, you know, what's she saying there? Really? Like, do we have to go? Can't we just end this? He is, end it by like, let's just get the ceremony over with. And he's being the good husband he is, he's right there with her. But, you know, there was letters written by my sister. This was a long ceremony, right? My sister wrote letters. His father had a letter, and the pastor was reading all of them. And so after my niece sitting in a chair now, and the best man sitting in a chair, she looks at the pastor and says, "Let's just get on to the vows." And so, and then here's another thing. On the way there, my brother is in charge of driving my sister's car, and she's the mother of the bride. We're going to put all the gifts and everything in the car, right? He leaves the key fob on the top of the car as we're leaving the house that we rented, and so key fob goes flying off on the FM highway. It's nowhere to be found. So we spent the most of Saturday having to get the car towed to Howdy Honda is the name of the place that we got it towed to. Had to wait for the tow truck, had to wait for the key fob. $1,000 later, we had a. I'm just kidding. It was a lot of money. It was not the way it was supposed to go. My sister and Nettie pictured the ceremony to go very differently, but in the end, it all worked out. And these unforeseen things did not ultimately stop or mess up the intended mission of the weekend. Right? Now, let me take you back about 29, 30 years ago. She's 26 now. A few years before my sister gave birth to Nettie, she tried to have her first child and miscarried. And I know a lot of you are probably indirectly or directly, you've been involved in that, and it's tragic. And I was about 13 or 14 at the time, and I remember watching my sister be so devastated. All she wanted to do was be a mother, and it ended up working out a little bit later, not like she originally intended. I want to transition to Hannah. She's our third hidden figure that we're going to talk about tonight. And Hannah, like my sister and most women, has a deep desire to have a child. And like my sister, they didn't work out in the beginning like she wanted them to. The difference here is that Hannah's waiting period was much longer. And it came with extreme anxiety and disappointment over her womb being closed by the Lord, as Scripture tells us. So before we read the text, let me summarize Hannah's life for you. She was married to a man named Elkanah. God did not condone multiple wives back then, but it was somewhat common for a husband to go and find another wife to bear children with if his first wife couldn't bear children. So that's what he did. He found Peninnah, you say Peninnah, I say Peninnah, to be his wife, and she bore children for him. But Scripture tells us that Elkanah loved Hannah. The Scripture is very clear on how he loved her, and one might assume that she was his first love, his real love, right? And he grieved with her in barrenness, and he was helpless in her situation. Peninnah would provoke Hannah every time she went to the temple to pray. She would go, this was on and on. She would pray. She would pour out her spirit before the Lord, and Peninnah would just make fun of her and just provoke her. I believe we'll have a passage of Scripture on the screen for you to follow along, but if you're reading from your Bible, if you're like me and you have trouble trying to find Old Testament books, we're going to be in 1 Samuel, and you don't need me to tell you that that comes right before 2 Samuel, right? But it's actually past Judges and before Kings. But let's read. What the passage I'm going to read you is 1 Samuel chapter 1, verses 8 through 11. It says, "And Elkanah, her husband, said to her, 'Hannah, why do you weep? And why do you not eat? And why is your heart sad? Am I not more to you than 10 sons?' After they had eaten and drunk in Shiloh, Hannah rose. Now Eli the priest was sitting on the seat beside the doorpost of the temple of the Lord. She was deeply distressed and prayed to the Lord and wept bitterly." She was deeply distressed, yet she prayed to the Lord as she wept bitterly. "And she vowed a vow and said, 'O Lord of hosts, if you will indeed look on the affliction of your servant and remember me and not forget your servant, but will give to your servant a son, then I will give him to the Lord all the days of his life, and no razor shall touch his head.'" Hannah later goes on to tell Eli, the priest, that she is troubled in spirit and has been pouring out her soul before the Lord. He thinks she's drunk. She's there at the temple. Her mouth is moving, but she's not talking out loud. And He thinks she's drunk. She later tells him, I've been troubled in spirit. I'm pouring out my soul before the Lord. I think it's important to now highlight verse 18. As she left the temple, and she said, let your servant find favor in your eyes. Then the woman went her way and ate, and her face was no longer sad. So at the beginning of that passage, Elkanah's like, why aren't you eating? Why are you so sad? She left, and her circumstance, this is what I want you guys to listen to. Her circumstance did not change. She hadn't conceived yet. But she seems to now be content. She had trouble eating, sleeping, and seemed to weep constantly. But now, after pouring out her spirit before the Lord and going before him time and time again, I believe the Lord brought her to a place of peace and rest with him regardless of whether she bears a child or not. But I think it took a while to get there. She has spent enough time with her Heavenly Father that now God is enough. So let me reference some other scripture that shows delight and satisfaction in God being enough. I think we'll have them up here. Psalm 16:11, you make known to me the path of life. In your presence there is fullness of joy. At your right hand there are pleasures forevermore. Psalm 51:17, the sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart, O God, you will not despise. And Isaiah 26:3 says, you keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you. So I've got three observations or takeaways from Hannah's story. Hannah was very content in crying out to the Lord. She did not feel that her constant weeping and going back and forth time after time with the same request, she didn't feel like it was burdening God. Hannah knew it was okay to be open and vulnerable to God. In fact, God wants that. He doesn't get tired of us coming before the throne over and over, same request over and over again. He doesn't get tired of that. He wants that. Observation number two, whatever your request or desire is before the Lord, what if God does not grant or deliver it? You're praying and praying. Maybe it's to have a child. Maybe it's to be delivered from something. I want you to think about that. Think about what that is for you, what you've taken before the Lord, where maybe you're a little discouraged that you feel like he's not listening to you. Are you okay at that point with God being enough? Has all that time, and what have you done to get there? Have you poured out your spirit before the Lord time and time again? Have you wept? Changing the posture of your heart as you ask for that or ask to be delivered from that, and it doesn't happen, and it's not the way you went, but then you the posture of your heart starts to change, and then you're okay, and God becomes enough. Think about that. In all her praying and weeping and pouring out her spirit before the Lord, we see Hannah's heart go from a desperate heart to a dependent heart, and then that yields a delivered heart. She starts out with a desperate heart. That formulates into a dependent heart on the Lord. And then from that, eventually she has a delivered heart. And I would tell you that she's delivered not because she has a son or when she conceives. I think that she was at peace. She went to eat. The scripture says she ate. She rested. I think doing all that, she was delivered. And she was at a point where, hey, if God does this or not, I'm okay. I'm going to share with you a personal story of how my desperate, dependent, and praise God, delivered heart, I can relate to Hannah. It's in my pursuit of sobriety from cocaine. I partied and abused cocaine for 5 years in my 30s before I finally surrendered that struggle and addiction and made it public to my family, everybody in my life, and my church. Then it was another 2 years of trying to get sober, which looked like using cocaine every few months, but now it was in the light. And I went from using and hoping no one knows to using and telling on myself all the time. It wasn't fun. I was in a community group every 3 or 4 months, maybe 6 months. Oh, I think I got it. And I'd use again. And I was pleading with the Lord to take this away and have me be free from the grips of using every few months. And I would tell you that I can remember telling the Lord, like, I just don't think I'm going to get sober. I don't think I can do it. I mean, I can't believe that I go back to this. I don't want to do that anymore, yet I go back to it every few months, and it's so disappointing. And you get 2 or 3 months under your belt, those of you that, I'm sure there's some people in here that know what I'm talking about, and then you just use again. You're like, I don't know if I can do this. And honestly, I couldn't do it. So I had to get to a place, and that was a 2-year journey up and down, using and confessing, that brought me to a sweet place with Jesus, where I was fully dependent on him to heal me of that addiction, and I learned how to trust him with it. And I got to a point of God being enough. God wasn't enough in my life. Did he want me to go through cocaine addiction to get me and get that posture of my heart? No, but he used it 100%. And now, only because of that journey and that time spent with the Lord, I am now able to be free from that addiction and experience, hopefully, continued years of sobriety. I had a good year, and then it came back again. But praise God, now I'm pushing towards 2 years, 3 years, 4 years, and I feel free. Praise God. And God gets all the glory for that. So, enough about me. Back to Hannah. So we're going to talk about this son of hers, right? So she conceived. She bore a son. Who was it? Samuel, right? So who was Samuel? She names him Samuel, which means God hears, or name of God. Samuel was a prophet and a judge at a time when Israel was crying out for a king. They didn't have a king, and Israelites wanted a king. And so Samuel went before the Lord, and God said, okay, give them their king. Samuel went on to appoint King Saul, and then he later went on to appoint King David, who we know is a direct line to Jesus. So Samuel's life was significant. How do we see the gospel in Hannah's story? Hannah gives over her son. You know, there's 3 years of weaning that child. So can you imagine, ladies, mothers, being with your child for 3 years and then having to give it up? She did that faithfully and selflessly to contribute to the furthering of God's kingdom, as we see. She didn't know any of that. She didn't know what he was going to go on to do. God gives over his son to give us his ultimate plan of salvation for all who trust in the name of Jesus Christ and his death, his burial, and his resurrection. And I'm not going to assume that everybody in here understands that fully. And if you are wrestling with the Lord and he's tugging at your heartstrings, you should come and talk to somebody with a name tag on, and we'll be happy to tell you. I'll be happy to talk to you about what the Lord's done in my life and what that means to have salvation in Jesus Christ. Way to go, Hannah. Job well done. So I'm going to pray for us, and then we're going to turn it over to your table groups. You got some good questions there, I hope. And I hope it's a fruitful time. Let me pray for us. Father, in Jesus' name, I thank you for stories like this that you put in your word to show us that there are people that have gone before us that poured out their spirit, that just struggled and wept. And the story is not always that you bless them with what they want, but are you enough? Are we gonna go through that to where we end up saying, you know what? Whether I had a child or not, you're enough. Thank you for these examples in the Bible. Thank you for Jesus, God. Thank you for that ultimate sacrifice on the cross. I thank you that you transform lives. And I thank you that you've transformed mine. I pray in Jesus' name that you would be with all these guys as they look at these questions. Be with us at table time. Keep us safe tonight as we have a little after party. God, thank you. We love you. In Jesus' name, amen.